Good evening.
Good
Welcome
evening.
To another Fireside Chat with your hosts, Zany Mystic and Susan, who just said hello. She blew my little introduction there.
Sorry.
That's all right. I just wanted to make sure that people know who you are, as if this audience doesn't. I'm just taking this from your bio. You've been a spiritual seeker your entire life, been on the path for about 28 to 30 years. You have a PhD in clinical psychology and have been counseling for 16 years. And you first learned of the impending shift of reality into higher dimensions over 25 years ago. Many of you folks listening know her through the magical journey presented on her website, multidimensions.com. Welcome, Susan.
Welcome. I'm welcome to be there.
Oh, good. I have to admit, I'm a big fan of your work and of the site. I just discovered it about 3 or 4 years ago, and I printed out the entire journey and went on it.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, I was in an altered state when I was doing it, and it was just beyond wonderful. I mean, I think everybody should go check it out. It's an amazing journey that you've created for people. What inspired you to make such a practical journey and such a loving one?
Well, basically, it's kind of my journey.
Okay.
And I just learned that you have to go down before you can go up. You know, you have to go into your deep unconscious and clear out some cobwebs before you are able to make it to the point that you can feel like you are really creating your everyday reality. And then from there, you can really begin to expand your consciousness into the higher dimensions and begin. And in fact, in the part that's not up yet, except via the newsletters, is the integration door, which is kind of the sum total of the whole site, where we actually integrate our soul self into our ego self, which I found to be pretty powerful, and I think a lot of other people have too.
Well, I do get your newsletter, and they're very, very powerful, yes.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're getting them. Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. And some of it is channeled from the Arcturians, is that correct?
That's true.
When did that first start for you, and can you tell us more about the Arcturians? They're my favorite energy, really.
Right. Actually, it was the Arcturians that nagged me into writing the website in the first place.
Really?
And they just said, you know, write a site. And I said, no, I couldn't possibly. And finally, they just wouldn't stop. So I just had to write it. And I scared myself a lot to come out, because I'm one of what a lot of the listeners, I'm sure, have always had this secret inside of me, but it wasn't really safe to bring it out. And since I'm almost 60, it really wasn't safe back when I was young.
Right.
So to actually come out of the closet, so to speak, really put me through all my fears, and I created, you know, many extraneous dramas to stand in my way. But they were persistent, and they wouldn't let me stop, and I didn't. And it turned out to be a real kind of life-changing event for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the Arcturians, you want me to tell you a little bit about what I know about the Arcturians?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so from kind of what I know of the Arcturians, that they are, there's the Arcturian corridor, and that corridor, it's a portal in space where anyone that's moving into the experience of being a third and fourth dimensional being, or ascending out of the experience of being a third and fourth dimensional being, actually moves to this Arcturian corridor. So now the Arcturians are extremely busy because a lot of people are really ready to move to that reality where we can embrace our multidimensional self.
Now, would you equate that with the with Gaia's ascension into a higher dimension or density, as well as our own that's coming around 2012?
Yes, I think that we're actually in a partnership, and that actually we are Gaia and Gaia is us.
Yes.
And that separation between the people and the planet is just part of the illusion of the third dimension.
Yes.
And as we expand our consciousness, we begin to really realize that. And as we expand our consciousness, our perceptions expand so that we see the energy that ties everything together. I mean, not all the time, of course, but when we want to, we can.
Right. So it seems as if there's a major shift in awakening occurring on the planet. It's not fast enough for my taste, mind you, but... you know, given the layers of density that we seem to have to deal with and work through, you know, with pollution and some of the conspiracy things that are going on, there seems to be a dark stranglehold on the planet, which is not giving up very easily. Do they speak about this at all?
The Arcturians?
Yes. Or you.
Me? All of us?
Yeah.
Well, a couple of things. One thing is, just like we as the illusion of being an individual,
right,
we individuals have to be willing to move into our deepest, darkest places so that we can clear it and really expand beyond the limitations of that.
Okay.
So does our culture, so does our society. And since Gaia was good enough to house us all this time, she's having to do the same thing. And also what I'm understanding, what I have heard from my channeling with her and from other readings as well, is that she has chosen a slow path so that there isn't a lot of destruction. Because it's a huge transformation, a huge raise in vibration. And if we were to suddenly go from third to fourth quickly, it would be, you know, huge devastation. But as each of us are able to expand our consciousness to the fourth and fifth and beyond, and as we can integrate that into our bodies and then share that, just as the newsletters are saying, and then share that integration with the planet, then we are kind of slowly and gradually and safely expanding, actually raising the vibratory rate of the planet so that we can all adjust to it.
It seems that there are a lot of people that are incarnating onto the planet now that are starseed or walk-in or... you know, some other combination like the indigos and the crystals and the rainbows. Is this part of the influx that of which is bringing the higher vibration to the planet?
I think the higher vibration was coming, ready or not. But luckily we're somewhat ready. And there is enough blessed women that are able to hold their vibration high enough that they are able to actually bring in these children. These usually are not easy pregnancies because this is a very, very high vibrational being who is diminishing its vibration to get into this little third dimensional earth vessel. So these women have to be dedicated to actually hold these pregnancies and have these children and then raise these children because they are different.
Oh, yes.
They are very different. They know more than us. And they're happy to tell us. And we have to really find a way to keep them safe and teach them to be social creatures without diminishing their great spirit.
Yes. I do healing work with a small group, and a couple that's involved with the group were trying to have a child for about 3 years, and they finally had one, and she's a little red-haired girl.
Uh-huh.
And she has terminal cancer, so they've had to they have gone through such a tremendous process with the with operations and radiation therapy, and she is so vibrant and so alive. I'd be surprised if she wasn't an angel. So
she probably is an angel.
Yes. Well, I think many of us are.
Yes.
And we're starting to wake up to our the truth of our own nature. Would you say that we're connected interdimensionally all the way back to source?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only limitation to our connection is within our own perception.
I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that we're creator gods in amnesia.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah. I've been on the dark, the journey of the dark night of the soul, believe me. Yes. You know, with drugs and alcohol and many other things. And part of my own awakening was confronting all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not an easy process to first of all, to see yourself clearly and then to embrace all of yourself, to not
right.
reject any part of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's one of the wonderful aspects of your site, that it really is a journey that allows people to gently incorporate the past and the parts that are not so desirable.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. I think the whole key is unconditional love,
yeah.
and we can't really give what we don't have, so we have to love ourselves unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, as we come into connection with our higher dimensional aspects of ourselves and with the other higher dimensional beings that may not exactly be our life stream, then they give us such wonderful unconditional love that we feel it. You know, you have
mm-hmm.
to, as you know, you have to have the experience of feeling it for a long time before
mm-hmm.
you can even believe that there is such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does take a while to even believe that the ascension process and the shift is a reality. You
yes.
know, there were many, many days when I just thought it was, you know, pie in the sky. And yet people are awakening suddenly. They're actually having kundalini experiences. Can you
yeah.
talk about that a little bit?
Okay. Do you want me to just tell you what I've learned that it is?
Yes.
okay, well, kind of how I explain it in a kind of real nuts and bolts sort of way is that if you think of us as kind of being wired as 110,
uh-huh.
Then that's because the prana that we come in is that the prana that we allow into our bodies is, say, within that spectrum, within the, well, it's fourth dimensional.
Uh-huh.
But as we are allowing higher than fourth dimensional, because there's a big octave jump from fourth dimensional to fifth dimensional.
Okay.
And as we allow that higher light into our body, then what happens is that the spin of the chakra becomes quickened.
Okay.
And as the first chakra becomes quickened, and as we set down roots, which is very, very important to become grounded, because you wouldn't want to plug in a massive new heater without that third grounding plug.
Uh-huh.
And as we ground ourselves, then the kundalini, they often, it's called the sleeping serpent.
Right.
And it's like the energy force at the base of our spine that can begin that transmutation process of changing from like that 110 wiring to the 220 wiring.
Okay.
And as it moves up the spine, there's actually three cords, a negative, a positive, and a neutral. And it actually, it twists like a DNA coil, or like the thing on the symbol for the medicine.
Yes, the
what is
yeah.
it called? I can't think of what it's called.
The
I'm sure somebody out there knows.
Yes, it's that thing.
Yeah, Caduceus or
something
some,
like.
Yeah.
Caduceus.
Thank you. So that moves like the masculine and feminine polarities
uh-huh.
move like that, and that sets the chakras to move more quickly. And as they spin more quickly, it's like a centrifugal force,
okay.
and it starts to separate the light and the dark, the higher vibration and the denser lower vibration.
Oh.
And then that spins out our darkness, and that's when we have all these symptoms of transformation.
Oh, I've never quite heard it put that way. That's very interesting.
And then each chakra rules a certain part of our body and a certain part of our consciousness and a certain part of our daily life.
Right.
And so when that chakra is being balanced and cleansed, we get all these symptoms. And I just kind of wanted people to know that that you're not going crazy, you're having a spiritual transformation. And you're not having darkness, you're releasing darkness.
Right. What else would you like to share with the audience? I'm just going to kind of turn it over to you. You must have. It sounds like you have some things you'd like to help us, you know, in our process. Is there something that you would like to, you know, that you'll give us a little booster along the way?
Booster along the way.
Well, in other words, what do people do when this stuff starts coming up? you know, and there's nobody to talk to about it.
Well, that is definitely the difficult thing. And sometimes our souls will put us in a situation where there is no one for us to talk to. And so, therefore, we have to go in. We have to go inside of ourselves, and we have to listen to that still, small voice. That's always there, and it's always there for everyone all the time. But if we are actually in the process of the transformation, that means that that small voice is a little bit louder than it normally would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that we need to do whatever we can do to get ourselves out of the daily beta wave consciousness and at least start moving into the alpha wave, where we our attention is focused, we can still see some outside reality, but we're primarily living from inside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we can actually even go into a deeper trance of theta wave, then we can then more easily communicate. And most of my, well, a lot of my communication came just inside, but then I learned to write it. And as I would write it, then I would get more and get more details. And I just want to tell people, when you are writing it, if you can just say, I always said, dear one, so whoever wants to come in, welcome all. And then I would actually write out the question that, you know, I'm feeling terrible, what's going on with my life? And then I would just relax and allow myself to go into an altered state.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would say, you know, dear Sue, and then it would start, I would start writing things. And it wouldn't be like I would speak in tongues or my handwriting would be different. It would be just like I was writing, but I'd be saying things that I don't, you know, I don't normally talk that way.
I know what you're talking about.
You know, and it comes out like, really, why is I'm going, I said that?
I know, I do that a lot. And sometimes I'll go back and read something and I'll think, my God, did that come out of me?
Exactly.
So at some point you realize that most of what's happening is you're just we're just channeling energy through us.
Yes.
You know, and basically the more we do the work on ourselves to cleanse the channel, you know, by removing the lower vibrations, the more the higher vibrations can enter like a vortex and create a light filament or a stronger light and love vibration is how I understand it.
Right. And I think initially the work as we are going in and releasing our core beliefs that keep us feeling limited and keep us feeling separated, we begin to, like, clear the vessel so that we can become a vessel of light.
Yeah.
And it becomes very progressive. The more we let go of the old and the illusions of limitation, the more we can embrace the new and the inner truth that was always there. But
we just
lost track of it.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of, I know a lot of people try to pinpoint the timing on things. Is 2012 an approximate date, or is that pretty much set in stone? Is that like when the clocks get reset, or do you see that we're on schedule, or are we a little ahead schedule, or is there anything, is that even a legitimate question?
Well, you know, I've wondered about it myself a lot and done lots of research and meditation on that. And kind of the sum total of what I've read and received inside is that, on the reading thing, that the date 2012 actually came from the Mayan calendar.
Right.
And I'm sure you know that. But and so it's just that what the Mayan calendar says, at the end of 2012, it's the end of time.
Okay.
So what that means is how we have measured things in the past in a logical, sequential fashion of time,
mm-hmm.
which there's many different measurements of time, and we have to have our collective consciousness agree on a specific measurement
mm-hmm.
of time.
Mm-hmm.
That is to be reset.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's also said when the vibratory rate of the planet raises to a certain place, I think it's supposed to be like 13 cycles per second, then it gets depolarized and it moves beyond beyond time. beyond the limitation of time and space.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that 2012 is more a starting point than an ending point.
Uh-huh.
And I also think that by the time we get to the place that we are actually able to create and participate in an ascension, there won't be time because we will have learned how to live in the now.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we're all, you know, everybody's saying in some way or another.
Right.
Just, you know, be still within yourself, finding that place of now inside yourself, and have it the only time be the time you're having in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, the past is over and the future isn't made yet.
Exactly.
Because we are making it. We, being the collective planet of the entire planet, including the planet, but there's also, you know, other planets within our solar system, and from what I understand, a large part of this whole quadrant of space is actually shifting up.
Yes, I've heard that, and I wanted to ask you if you have any communications about that. I was recently reading some information channeled by the Council of Nine, and I guess it doesn't really matter where it comes from, but basically the idea is that the Earth has created a bottleneck in terms of the evolutionary cycle, and that we're holding up the whole universe, the cosmos, and that there are other civilizations waiting to ascend as well. I just wondered
mm-hmm.
if you were familiar with that.
Yeah, well, Earth, as you know, we're way out at the end of the whole solar of the whole galaxy here.
Uh-huh.
We're kind of like in the backwater. And Earth is an especially difficult place because it's the planet of emotion. You know, huge percentage of the planet is water, means emotion. A huge percentage of our physical bodies are water, which is emotion.
Uh-huh.
And there's been many cycles of evolution on Earth that people aren't aware of, but they are becoming more and more aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And like Edgar Cayce and lots of other mystics from the past have spoken of, like Atlantis rising and
mm-hmm.
different things coming up for us to realize. And there's been some new discoveries about, you know, at the bottom of the sea floor, and some new discoveries with the Pyramid of Giza. All these things were predicted in the past.
Uh-huh.
And Earth is taking longer because it's a much greater lesson. There's not a lot of planets that chose to express life on such a low vibration as the third dimension, very low vibration.
Yeah, and we think we're at the top of the ladder.
We think that we're at the top of the ladder, and as we begin to really become in tune with who we really are, we kind of look around at our little vehicles that we're living in and the world that we're living in, and we are kind of like, wow, this is really slow. This is really slow.
Yes, absolutely.
And because of the emotion, because we have gone into such depths, we are actually very courageous, because we will be able to ascend to very great heights because we have been willing to take such a great initiation to go and to live in such a low vibration.
Mm, yes, yes. Sometimes I still wonder about that.
Yes.
So isn't that kind of like the slingshot effect, where the lower you go, the higher you get catapulted, you know, up as well?
Yes, I think that's true.
Yeah, because I know for myself, I've had some very, very dark, low moments,
mm-hmm.
you know, and drugs and alcohol will take you to those places, and, you know, it's like the depths of hell, and coming out of that, the light is so much brighter. And I feel like I'm just beginning to have a grasp on it, and that's just very rudimentary. So I think that we're in for some really wonderful times.
Well, and also that brings up an important point that I have learned largely through writing one of my books, my Visions from Venus series, that we have all had many, many incarnations on this planet, and we have left all of our psychic stuff. And there's been a lot. I mean, you just look at the history within just this age, and you can see how much pain and fear and hurt and anger. And all of that is of a low vibration.
Uh-huh.
And that low vibration lingers in Gaia's aura. And so Gaia's aura has all the effluvia, all the darkness of all the pain and suffering that has happened on all of the incarnations of this planet. And when we as light workers go deeply into our own darkness, what we are actually doing is that we are moving into what's called the lower astral plane.
Uh-huh.
And the lower astral plane is the plane just above the third, at the very lowest part of the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension has like 7 different dimensions. It's in my website all about the fourth dimension. But the lower astral is like the bottom of the pond, the highest, the I Am Presence at the top of the fourth dimension leads to the rainbow bridge into the fifth dimension and beyond. Whereas that's like the top of the pond. And the bottom of the pond is the lower astral, which is, you know, where we have nightmares or bad trips or, you know, real darkness. But as each individual person burrows through our own darkness, then we also burrow through this lower astral plane. So if you are outside the planet looking at this dark aura all around her, and every time you see a person burrow through their lower astral, it'd be like a spark of light coming up from Gaia.
Wow.
And so now, you know, there's more and more tunnels of light coming up from Gaia because that lower astral is cleared. And so as we all, you know, it starts with a few, and then the more and more you get, it's hardest for the first people because it's very dense.
Right.
But for every person around you that burrows through, it makes it easier for the next.
Yes.
So it gets to be like a logarithmic progression until we just burst it out. And we don't have that darkness around the planet.
Oh.
That's probably when the ascension will really happen.
Yeah. And that could be considered a process that's ongoing right up until, you know, the end of time or whatever. In other words, the ascension will happen as fast as we're able to work on ourselves, basically.
Yes, and I want to address something here that I've had people ask me and email me, and this is primarily mothers and parents, and they're saying, but wait, I can't leave my kids. The thing I want to say is that our kids, we won't have to worry about leaving our children. We'll have to be running full speed ahead to keep up with our children because they haven't gone through all the hard knocks of life that have made them forget what beautiful spirit beings they are.
Wow.
So it's not at all that we are going to be leaving our children. Or actually, you know, I don't know exactly how it would work because we haven't done before on this planet. We haven't ascended an entire planet. And probably a lot of us have done it, and that's why we got incarnated now. But I don't remember that yet. Maybe some of the listeners do. So I've had many theories, and kind of the way I would like it to be is that things just progressively and easier, they just get better.
Yeah.
And it has to do a lot with choosing the reality that there's realities that we don't want to choose. We can look at the darkness and the things that aren't pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can take responsibility for deciding to choose to place our attention. That our life, I woke up one morning, I woke up that life is like a motion picture and it's made up of all the frames that we place our attention on. So
beautiful.
As wherever we place our attention, that's what we bring into our reality.
And that's a moment-by-moment process, is it not?
And that's a moment-by-moment process. And the thing is, it's something that we have to really learn to differentiate that from being in denial.
Mm.
And, you know, being in denial is that we just don't want to look at it.
Right.
Whereas making a choice, we do look at it. We look at it very deeply, and we look at if there's any way in which we're participating
mm-hmm.
in that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And we choose not to participate in that darkness, and we send that darkness unconditional love and detached compassion.
Oh, that's important.
That's a really important place because it, to go into denial of it and to pretend it isn't existing is not being helpful.
No.
And, you know, all of us that are awakening, we feel our responsibility.
Mm.
And as we connect with our inner guidance, we'll know exactly what it is that we're supposed to do, kind of bit by bit,
mm-hmm.
you know. And usually, I mean, I hear stories of that. People tell me stories of it all the time. And very often it starts with something bad that happened.
Uh-huh.
They're on this path to do this thing, and then some bad thing happened. And so in order to get through this bad thing, they learned about themselves, about their higher selves. So, you know, bad things are very often actually good things. It's just about your point of perception.
Well, I know when I had, some higher moments, and I could see where everything that I did and everything that happened to me was guided, and that it
mm-hmm.
was all necessary. Every step, every breath was done with assistance, and that there was nothing that could be left out. So,
yeah.
You know, I think what you're saying about denial is really important for people to hear,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I spent many years in denial about, you know, various things and sexual aspects, alcohol, drugs, and, you know, it's important, I think, to begin to come to grips with those things before this whole process, like you said, actually does hit us.
Right.
You know, between the eyes, because I'm just wondering what will happen to all of those people who are not going with the program that are in denial, and that's probably most people here on Earth. And as you said, the process is going to happen regardless. What can you say about that?
Well, there's actually a couple things to say about that.
Good.
One of the things is, now this might be a little hard for people to wrap their minds around it,
okay.
but I have read this, I've received this, and I've even looked at it within myself, that, you know, first off, we have to realize that we are multidimensional beings. And so that means that we are, it's not only that we live on the third dimension, but we live on the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh and
yeah.
all the way up to angels and Elohim and Source.
Uh-huh.
That, and the farther up in vibration we go, the more we're all merged into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, from our higher dimensional self, or that decided, the self that is all of us, decided to enter into this experiment of life on the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
fragmented off, and it wasn't that something was lost. It's more like you copy and paste.
Oh.
You copy a part of yourself, and you pasted that down into the third dimension. So you didn't lose anything, but we're infinite beings, so we don't ever run out of ourselves. So, that most of us have other copies of ourselves. There are other portions of our actual self that have physical bodies
mm-hmm.
at different places
mm-hmm.
around the planet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we might look at this person and say, oh, that person's, you know, never going to get it, and that person's really evil. And that could be true. But I've heard there's up to, like, 12. And that's kind of like one of the 12 is going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one that gets it, see, when we ascend, we ascend this particular life and all of the lives that we've ever had and all of the fragments of ourselves that have ever chosen to ever have any part of being with Gaia.
Wow.
So then the ascending one takes all these other ones that aren't getting the picture and cleans them up and takes them.
Wow. That's absolutely wonderful.
Now, and then the other thing that I've also read and said,
okay,
is that there is a third-dimensional planet that is being prepared for the people and for the fragments of ourselves
mm-hmm.
that are absolutely not ready to give up the 3D game. They don't feel like they have learned cause and effect. Because
mm-hmm.
the 3D slows everything down.
Mm,
so
yeah.
We can learn more about being creators. Well, we are creators, but we can learn about being creators down here.
Right.
And in the physical plane, things, you put out a cause and the effect could happen years and years and years later.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you move into the fourth dimension, it happens very quickly. And in the fifth dimension, it's instant.
Yes.
Instant. So some people, maybe they haven't learned that yet. And so that there is another third dimensional planet where people that want to keep on playing it, you know, there's no judgment. It's not like, oh, you're so bad you didn't make it. It's just that you're not done with the game. So,
yeah.
Hey, it's a planet of free will. You're not done. We're just moving the casino over. We're playing it over there. And that it's not like they'll even particularly know that anything's different.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's just that they're there.
Yeah.
And
on a soul level, they would have made that choice very clear.
On a their soul and them conferred on some level and said, hey, I'm not done with the game. I'm going to go over there some.
So, but their soul is basically a fragment of our soul as well then.
If we go up high enough. And one of the things that I've got is that everyone that has incarnated on Gaia.
Uh-huh.
Is from that oversoul of Gaia.
Oh.
And this is one of the more, you know, the more recent information that I received inside me. So I'm just saying that I received it. I'm not saying this is fact. It's just
right.
What I received.
Right.
Is that we all said, hey, let's have this experiment. And, okay, I want to be a rock, and I think I'll be water. And, hey, let's try being a person. And then we all got together, and we made a planet.
Huh.
So we really already are all one,
but
we don't know it because we forgot.
Yes.
And on the third dimension, everything has barriers and boundaries, and everything appears to be separate because the energy that ties it together is of a vibration that is beyond our spectrum, our third dimensional spectrum of perception.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, as we raise our consciousness, we also begin to perceive the higher levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so we begin to be able to see fairies or angels or, you know, other dimensional beings or mm-hmm. hearing voices or knowing what's going to happen in the future because there is no time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that happens, especially as we really clear and open our higher chakras. Is that our perceptions really expand, and that can leave us feeling very overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes just the straight-up physical world is more than you can take.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you've got fairies and angels and all this other stuff going on. It's like, wait a second here. So we kind of have to find the off switch so we can, like, go to work and make our money and do the things we have to do in our mundane life.
Mm-hmm.
But then know that we're going to return and put aside that time that we can kind of play with our new toy.
Yes.
That, wow, look what I can see and feel and hear.
Mm-hmm. Or also to make the choice to drop out and find alternate ways of living. You know, that may be a 9-to-5 job where you're under pressure all the time and living with lower vibrations isn't really working. And by trusting yourself and stepping out onto the edge of the cliff and seeing if you actually can fly by jumping might mean leaving your job and just seeing where it takes you.
Absolutely.
You know, and then you've got the angels and the fairies and the garden, and if you don't get a job, at least you've got them to talk to and complain about.
Well, that's good as long as you don't have, like, children to raise.
Yeah, well, true.
You know, I mean, that's something that, you know, I mean, because I was a single mother and, you know, responsible for my kids a lot, and, you know, so that wasn't an option.
Yeah.
But that's good, too, because then you need to learn how to make lemonade out of lemons.
Yes.
And then also, I also was able, my guidance did direct me to, hey, you love this. Make time for this.
Uh-huh.
And as we consistently make time for the thing that we love, the thing that we love begins to take up more and more of our life, and the thing that we don't love gets smaller and smaller.
Yes.
So it can be, and a lot, and it, I think it depends a lot on personalities and
uh-huh.
on what responsibilities you have.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, some people just, they just switch like that, and that's great.
Yeah.
And other people are like me. I'm a Capricorn, so it's like, slow and steady, you know, step, step, step. Do it in order, and I get there for sure. But it kind of is your personality, how you want to do it.
Mm. And that's all a matter of our own choice.
It totally. It's all, everything is our choice. Gaia is a planet of free will. And it's our choice to be a victim.
Right.
And that's one of the most important things that we need to learn, that... And it's hard because when we're in the state of feeling like we're victimized by someone, you know, it makes us really angry for someone to say, don't be a victim, because it seems like an impossible thing.
Right.
But for any of the listeners that are in that place, I just want to say that if you continue on the path and you continue with this process, you will get to the place that you understand that. And you just have to be patient with yourself, and you will move through it.
That's wonderful.
And one other thing I wanted to say is that as our consciousness is lower and our cause and effect is, we haven't learned the rules of cause and effect as much,
mm-hmm.
then we can put out negative thoughts and, you know, maybe in a month it'll try to manifest. We've got lots of time to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But as we expand our consciousness and our vibration raises, we think something and bang, it's manifested just like in a minute.
Yes.
And I so would, it's it's really important that we learn how to be the master of our thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
And be able to come to peace with our emotions and just know that they're just little messengers that are telling us how we're reacting to something.
Right. Right, absolutely. I'm finding myself that I have to be very careful about my thoughts now.
Yeah.
And I literally watch everything that goes through my mind. And if something comes through that's not that's negative or that might have impact on another person, I pull that thought.
Yeah.
And I examine it to see, you know, what the source of it is. Because, you know, it seems like I'm reaching a point, and many people are, where, you know, we just can't afford the luxury of just having a mind full of trash.
Right, exactly.
You have to take out the trash sometime.
We have to choose the positive thought.
Mm-hmm.
We have to catch the fearful one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about fear and love.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of those thoughts, they're coming because we allow fear to seep into us.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a moment we forgot the magnificent beings that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we forget the magnificent beings that we are, then we're just like one of the poor schmucks that are trying to survive here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary. That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so as we can remember that we are magnificent beings that are coming to the end of this experience, we're coming to the place where we have passed, we have graduated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mm-hmm. have learned everything we need to learn from this. And we're ready to
rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Then we can stay in love.
Yes.
And love, not of human love that can be very laced with fear.
Yes.
But the same love that we get from our higher self that's totally unconditional, totally accepting. And, you know, when we go inside, one of the first things that my guides taught me is how to differentiate a being of love and fear. And basically what I want to say to everyone, that our higher selves and our inner guides, they only are loving, they are always completely accepting, they never judge,
mm-hmm.
they're always kind, and if there's any other communication, any other style of communication, you're on the wrong channel, turn it off, pull out, get calibrated back to love.
Yes, absolutely. That's wonderful, wonderful advice.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of turning things off,
mm-hmm.
I recommend turning off the television. That seems to be one of the lowest vibrations that that we can expose ourselves to.
There's a lot of negative things on the television, and there's also some really good things on the television too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know there's a lot. That the radiations that come from the television are bad, and I think if people are able to let go of television, that's great. I enjoy watching television sometimes. I have my trusty TiVo. I only watch the things I like to watch.
Uh-huh.
And I only watch the things that enlighten me or relax me or do me into Gaia.
Uh-huh.
And there's good things. There's a lot of art as well.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we need to limit our viewing.
Right.
You know, we don't want to be there all the time.
Right.
And I think everybody has to make those decisions.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah.
I would like to hear a little bit about your book, Seven Steps to the Soul.
Uh-huh.
Now, was that your first book? No.
My first book was 30 Veils of Illusion.
Okay.
And my first book, 30 Veils of Illusion, I wrote probably 25 years ago.
Wow.
And I wrote it, and then I said, oh, this is bad, and I put it away,
uh-huh.
and that was it. And then 15 years later, to the day, I tripped on it. I mean, it was like it jumped out of my bookcase, so to speak. I pulled it out, and I looked at it, and I said, hey, this is really good.
Oh, wow.
And then I went through the process. But see, I wasn't able to accept the possibility that maybe I could write a book. And then Seven Steps to Soul is a poetry book.
Oh.
And but it's a poetic journey of spiritual awakening.
Okay.
And that was written kind of intertwined between a lot of the others. And then the next book I wrote was Visions from Venus and Reconstructing Reality. And those were about me really remembering all my other incarnations,
mm-hmm.
and about reconnecting with the divine complement.
Mm-hmm.
And the Visions from Venus starts with the first time that I took embodiment on the physical plane,
mm.
and how shocking that was to suddenly be in a dense shell.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've written a couple of illustrated books, and I am slated to write another book called Becoming One, which should be coming out around the first of the year.
What is that one about? It sounds kind of apocalyptical.
Well, but a good apocalyptical, not a bad one.
That's a 10-cent word, by the way.
Yeah, I think I said it wrong. Basically, what becoming one is that as we become one with our higher self,
uh-huh.
we realize that we are one with every other self of every other person, as well as one with every creature on the planet, as as the planet herself. And as we all become one, then we have ascended.
Wow.
I think as we all become one, that's when time ends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because time and space are intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
It takes so much time to travel so much space.
Mm-hmm.
And we see space because there's a space that I take up, and there's space in between me and the other person that takes up the space that they take up.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're all one,
mm.
then there's no space, so there's no time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're all here now.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
So that one is swimming around in my mind, And the Arcturians will assist me as usual.
I love them.
And whoever else there will. The Palladians, I've gotten a lot of help from the Palladians.
Oh, I was going to ask you about them. But, I really love the Pleiadian energy as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The Palladians, they came here in civilizations that we don't really even know about long ago after they left Lyra.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the different extraterrestrial beings, off-worlders, off our world, have had times where they lived here. The Syrians definitely lived here. The Draconians lived here. And the Palladians lived here.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Palladians first came here, they were kind of at the same evolutionary. Well, they were evolved enough that they could move through space. So they were more evolved than us.
Mm-hmm.
But they were not evolved enough to be beyond conflict. So they had conflict and they had wars and they kind of made a mess of it here. And the Syrians did the same. They kind of came and they tried to help a lot, but actually they really hurt more.
Uh-huh.
And hence that point, the Palladians are now a fifth-dimensional civilization, as are the Syrians. And so the Palladians are coming here a lot to help us because they kind of feel responsible. And I think a lot of Palladians have, well, when I say a lot of Palladians have reincarnated here, my experience is that as we begin more to remember more of our multidimensional self, we become attuned to the other fragments of our soul, the other portions of our soul that have other realities, like in the fifth dimension.
Right.
So, you know, like you really feel, you know, inclination towards Palladians, you probably have at least one Palladian incarnation in the fifth dimensional world. And, you know, and I've found several of mine. And those parts, those beings that are actually our own soul self, they're going to be the ones that are the most helpful to us because we'll be able to resonate to them because they're us. They're really the same, the exact same pattern, the same signature frequency, but of a higher vibration. So they're, I think a lot of our guides, and when people channel people or channel beings, I think they're actually channeling the beings that are just, that are their higher selves.
Yes, I've often thought that.
Yeah.
And that they're, in a sense, they're our future self, but there, since there's no future or past, then you can just say, well, they're our self.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what the heck?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when we talk about things like this, the regular language, it's difficult.
Yes.
Because the pronouns don't work anymore. Everything is time-dated. That doesn't work.
We're coming to the end. We're over by a few minutes. I need to,
We'll wrap it up. Susan, that's been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful talking with you. Can you tell people about your how to reach your website and how to reach you?
It's www.multidimensions.com.
Wonderful, and like I said, it's an incredible, beautiful, artistic soul journey, and I encourage everybody to go to check out the website and start from the beginning. Even if you think you're an advanced soul, just, you know, allow yourself to go through the process that she's created for us, and the wonderful Arcturians as well. So, well, thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to your emails. It's Suzanne Carroll, SUZANCAROLL, at multidimensions.com, and I look forward to talking to all of you.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good night, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.